Up to page 82. It's hard to see because of the staple. But up to page 82, Ois Zayin, on towards the bottom. The very, very last paragraph, two lines. It's Simon Reish Samach Gimel, Ois Zayin. Okay, so we're dealing over here with a child. We're dealing with a child that did not have a bris milah because his brothers died machmas milah. Two children in the family already died because of milah. That means that we're not going to do a bris milah on child number three. And we learn the chiddush of the Aruch HaShulchan that even if it means there are two sisters, if there are two sisters from the same mother, and each one has a child who died from milah, if there's a third sister that now has a baby, that baby also does not have a bris milah because since it's all the same DNA, the sisters from the mother, we don't take any risks. So the question is, does that mean to say that the baby does not have a bris milah for the rest of his life? Is that what it means to say? So what does it mean? So the Kate said yes. He's an Orel. He is an Orel until he has the bris. That's the question. What is the status? It's a very difficult question. If a person does not have a bris milah because it's a sakana, is he allowed even the carbon Pesach? Pashtus is not. You're not allowed.
It's not his fault.
Okay, but he's not. He's still called an Orel. He's still called an Orel. There's a problem. You can't deny the fact that he still has an Arla.
Arla,
no matter what. But he's still called an Arla. Okay, let's see. Oy Zayin. The Kate said, "Yah says, so what should we have? Lad Sheyef Shalomola. What do we do with the child that we cannot do a bris milah? So Kasu Harambam Beatur VeYashulchan Aruch LaHamdin Loi Ad Sheyigdal." The Yischazei Koychei Ad Kan L'Shanes. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Wait until he's Sheyigdal." What does it mean, Sheyigdal? Bar mitzvah? What does it mean when he's 3 years old? Pashta means when he's a little bit older, when he's three, four, whatever. Whenever he reaches the age when he is, you can make a determination that he is strong enough. V'nir ol yaniyastaiti. V'nir ol yaniyastaiti. The enak v'na ad sheyigodol ben yigdim. Of course, it doesn't mean Yigdal. Don't be misled to think that Yigdal means bar mitzvah. Yigdim ol shanim v'yom echad. Dema toli zeh b'zeh. You're not going to wait a boy to when he's 13 years old. He may not want to do it if he's 13 years old. Ella ad she yigdal me'at bishanim. He's 2, 3, 4 years old. And the doctor also. That's what they say. Doctor, they say Esav went and he kept on postponing it. Yaakov Avinu. The Medrash says that Yitzchak said to Esav, don't you think now it's time for a bris milah? Mm-hmm. So Esav says, I want to be on a higher madrega. Since you only can do the mitzvah once in your life, I want to finish Shas one more time.
He was born then.
One more time. He was, no, Esav was born with an Arla. Esav never had a bris milah. Yeah. Never.
That's why that is, yes.
Never had a bris milah. And they were afraid to do the bris milah on his 8th day because he was red. And they thought he was a hemo, what's it called, a hemo?
Hemophiliac.
He would bleed out. So they did not do a bris milah. And they waited until he got a little bit older. And when he got old, then they realized, now it's safe. Esav said, I want to be a Talmud Chacham. I want to know Shas and Poiskin. And he kept on pushing it off more and more and more until he was able to evade doing a bris milah altogether, entirely. So here it says,
what's the halacha about with the
Chayim
where they
cannot
have
a bris milah?
Do
a bris milah?
Yeah.
Can you do a void without a bris milah?
You can't have a
karm pesach. What about a void? I don't know the answer. I don't know. L'chora not. L'chora you're an orel.
That's right.
There must be a reba. There must be a pasuk. There must be a gemara somewhere. It sounds like it's a gemara. There must be a halacha somewhere that a kohen cannot do a void unless they have a bris milah. You're an orel. An orel cannot do the avoida. The Yischazik, third line from the top, Yischazik koichel lefi eni abikim ve'ein shir ludover ludoverzeh. There is no shir. You cannot generalize. It all depends on one of the determinations of the doctors. V'reis imish shapira shad yud gimel shana. The Aruch HaShulchan says that I saw there are some of the mefarsh that want to learn shan the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch that you should wait until the boy is 13 years old. That's what it means sheyigdal. V'loy nihiruli klal. This is a mistake, a toast. How can you say such a thing? The Iker and the correct tradition, Kamashikosav, what I've written, that the bris milah should be done, like I've written, the bris milah should be done when the baby is already just a couple of years old, when the doctors determine that it's okay. The im royim bo chul shah gamacha yud gimel lo yimolo so. And certainly, let's say he's already 13 years old, and we see that he's very weak, and the bris milah may put his life in jeopardy. So then, of course, we also will not do the bris milah. If the isha mola oy achar. If the mother does a bris milah, then you can do it. I don't know what that means. If someone else, he says over here, v'chol ze pitputei dvarim. This is just chirping. You're just chirping words here. V'ein shem nafkin zeh. It makes no difference who does the bris milah. Anyone, this makes no difference. It is a sakana. Oishas. V'ne'ara alash milash. Rambam ma'at u'mevur lehed yelubi isha adavar taloi v'loi bo ish. That all depends. The determination if the baby's going to die, is going to die, depends on the mother, not the man. What do we mean? We'll go to explain in a moment. V'chein mashem b'gemor v'atam b'nei shabah hadav v'tolik mashakosav l'chein ish shemolu b'noi u'mei smach masmilo v'gam noy loy ben me'isha acheres. If the man has two sons from two different wives and one died or both died, that has no effect on the third child from the third wife, because the determination of the baby will die in the sakana, the father doesn't make. That's exactly what the Rambam is telling us. When it comes to death, when it comes to sakana of dying from bris milah, it depends upon the yichus of the mother. And if these babies have different mothers, even though they share the same father, then they, it's sakana. We take into consideration one to the next. But if they have different mothers and one, if they have different mothers and one father, then what happens to one has no bearing on what happens to the other, and you do not combine them together to make a chazaka.
So the gene is not in the mother, not in the father.
For the halacha of sakana only.
Why?
Only with regard to the sakana of the baby dying. The Rambam was a doctor. The Rambam was a doctor. Is this true today? I have no idea. It could very well be nishtane hateva. It could very well be that today, if Rachmana Litzlan, a baby, if they have something like this, I don't know. I don't know if they'll make an analysis if this scientific fact is true. There are many. You don't hear of it, right? What about a hemo? What about a hemo?
I heard about it.
If anyone knew, the Rambam knew, and at least in his time. And the Rambam says that if a man has multiple children from different wives, even if two of them died, it has no effect on the next child from a different wife, because it's a different woman. Period. It's 1, 2, 3, 5 lines from the top. V'chein asa bal ha'aguda. The Baal HaGud was a Rishon, Maisa, the Chai Havlad, who was a Maisa, where a man had three children from three different wives. The first two died, and the Baal HaGud passed him to do the bris milah on the third baby. Ach Yesh, some say Duha Din B'ish, some disagree with this principle, and are Machmir, and even if it's from different wives, the same man, with Machmir, we do not put the baby's life in jeopardy. Rabbeinu Habeis Yosef Choshash L'Deyazo, he's Machmir V'Chosa B'Simen Deyaz V'Zalashon V'Wadin in Ish Echad Mol B'Noi HaRishoyin V'Sheini U'Meisu Machmas Mila Lo Yimol HaShlishi Bein Shu Lo Mi Isha Achas Bein Mishtayim Ad Kan Lishon. So you see over here that the Habeis Yosef is Machmir, like the Shita that says we're Chayish even when it comes to the father. V'Rabbeinu Ramo Kosev Al Zev Yesh Cholkin U'Sfilei D'Loi Shach B'Ish Rak B'Isha V'Nir D'Sofing L'Fosh L'Hokel Ad Kan L'Shonid. If we do not do B'Smilu V'Yesh Mish'Oime De'in Kan Sofik Klal, some say no, do it. There is no Sofik whatsoever. Before we go, I want to tell you an interesting point, an interesting insight. I'm not Chas V'Shom trying to enter into controversy. I just want to bring out this Svara. Mitzitza bepeh. We all know mitzitza bepeh today is a very controversial issue. Some are very machbir to do mitzitza bepeh mamish, and some no, it's not. It's not part of the milah. It's just a refuah. There's no makar for it. And today we live in a very dangerous world. It's to the advantage of everyone that mitzitza should not be done bepeh. Fine. I'm not getting involved. I have no opinion on this matter whatsoever. The point I want to make is that I once, in one of the arguments I read when they had this controversy in all the newspapers, is someone made a very interesting argument. And I don't know if the argument carries any weight, but the argument is just something to be aware of. And that is, you're right, mitzitza bepeh, this was the argument that was made, mitzitza bepeh is a sakana. It is a sakana. And we can measure the sakana. It can be maybe one in maybe 20,000 cases, maybe one in whatever, you have the numbers, maybe one in whatever, how many babies. It's sakana. And you don't want to be that one, no matter what, that one. It's sakana. But being that there are people that feel will give up their life for this, they have a right to do it, because, this is what they said, the Maisan Bris Mila in and of itself is a sakana. Just doing a Bris Mila in the perfect situation, when everything is perfect and possibly be good, is a sakana. To go, it's an operation. It's a surgical procedure, which is a sakana. Do we ever find someone saying, parents saying, we're not going to do a Bris Mila because we don't want to put our baby's life in jeopardy? It's a very good argument, but the Torah says you have to put your child's life in jeopardy. How many children die machmas? There are stories like this. A child dies machmas. I don't know what the numbers. Let's say it's 150,000. 100,000. If you're that 100,000 boy, you don't want to be that person. Take that chance.
Person do by the next way.
But the act of Bris Mila in and of itself is sakana. There's no question about it. So now you're telling me, but to do it this way, there's another sakana? Well, we're already living in the world of sakana. So once we're in the world of sakana, we have to take the sakana. I'm not telling you this svara is correct, but it's something to keep in mind. You're dealing with sakana. Here we are. Here you have a situation. Two babies died, and now we're up to the third baby. And the question over here is it the father or the mother? So let's say it's from the father. So now you're going to do a Bris Mila. You're putting the baby in sakana, because maybe it depends on the gene of the father that caused the baby to die. But yeah, the other Pesachim say, no, we don't care. Put the baby in sakana. How can you put the baby in sakana? How can you do that to the poor baby? Maybe it's the father's gene, that's the mother's gene. No, you got to do it. You have to understand there's a reason for that. I mean, there's a logic. Is that, well, the Bris Mila itself is a sakana. And the Torah told you to do the Bris Mila. The Torah is telling you, put yourself in sakana. Whatever the consequences are. I mean, it's a very scary thing. That's the only thing, the idea.
But there are no other mitzvahs, but it is a sakana?
No, there are not. Believe it or not, there are no other mitzvahs. Almost every mitzvah, adrabi, if there's the slightest sakana, chamira sakanta yosa meisura. Halacha will take you to the extreme lenient opinion in order not to chas v'shalom put yourself in sakana. One of the only mitzvahs is Bris Mila. There's nothing like it.
This is the mile of your soil that everybody runs to.
We're willing to be meiser nefesh. See, today we may feel it's not sakana, because Baruch Hashem, today we have a grasp of the medical issues involved in the Bris Mila, and we have hospitals, and we have everything you can possibly need.
Just the smallest sakana.
But go back in ancient times. Go back 200 years ago. It's a real sakana. You do a Bris Mila on a baby, go back 200 years ago in Europe, well, what's going to happen if the baby doesn't take well to the Bris Mila? There's no hospital to bring the baby to. What kind of medicine do they have to take care of the baby? Get an infection? So the guy would say, you're out of your mind doing a Bris Mila. What are you looking for trouble for? Today we feel very secure, Baruch Hashem, because we have all the medications and all the hulu v'chulu and all the experts, so therefore we don't even feel the sakana. But really, it's a sakana. And the Torah says, too bad. Too bad for you. Put your child in sakana for me. Now you want to tell me, I need another sakana. Mitzitza bepeh? So some want to argue, the essence of Bris Mila is sakana. And if the statistics are that it's extremely rare that something will happen through doing an additional sakana, a parent has the right to make that decision against the will of other people who want to interfere and say, we want to have a ban across the board in the community, whether it's a government regulation, whether it's even a regulation from the community itself. Let's have a community. Let's have a community. And the community says, we do not want, there are such communities, we do not want here in this community any light plug. No mitzitza b'peh. We don't want to start creating pressure on one field, not on the pressure. So if you have a baby in this community, there is no mitzitza b'peh. Can Rabbanim go and enact such a takana? Some will say, listen, you do what you want. I want to do a mitzitza b'peh. And oh, you tell me a sakana? That's right. That's what bris milah is. Bris milah is sakana. I'm eating another layer of sakana. I feel the statistics are in my favor. It's 1 in 50,000, and the Torah wants anyway this sakana. So I'm willing to be meisa nefesh to do it the way I was done traditionally. It was done traditionally.
Okay. Does the Shulchan Aruch mention anything about mitzvah?
No. It's too complicated. The Mishnah Berurah talks about it. It's too complicated. Mishnah Berurah says you can do. You don't need. Mishnah Berurah says you don't need mitzvah b'peh. It's mashma Mishnah Berurah that you do not need mitzvah b'peh. It's the Ferish Ber Halacha. You don't need mitzvah b'peh. Chassan Seif also says you don't need mitzvah b'peh. You have a lot of rice that you don't need mitzvah b'peh. So why they make it? Whatever it is.
But the Zakanim and mitzvah b'peh preventable.
Okay, that's the counter argument. That is the counter argument. That if mitzitza b'peh is not absolutely required, is not required, so why do? Why add more sakana when it's not necessary? But there are people who are traditional and feel, I don't know why they have this chorus, there's a lot of stuff on this. They want to do it. They want to do it because that's what they feel, and they know they're putting themselves in sakana. They're putting the moil in sakana, they're putting themselves in sakana. Everyone in sakana from this. So people, there are people, both Jewish and non-Jewish, who want to interfere and say, no, we don't want there to be a sakon in society. So can the people who do want to do it, do they have the right to say, you do what you want, I'll do what I want. This is a free country. I'll do what I want. We can override them if we really want. We can say, too big, this is the halacha. But they have a very powerful svara working in their favor. The only mitzvah in the Torah where you mamish putting yourself in sakana is bris milah. That is the nature of the mitzvah. You want to add another sakana. If the statistics are in your favor, the chances are very, 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 very small. So maybe a parent does have the right to do what he wants and no one can tell him otherwise. Which, that's the way it is today. Okay, I'll just tell you something off the record. Okay, let's continue. Ois tes. Ois tes. V'isi la'agadoylim. Shetamu al Rambam. I saw they challenged Rambam. How do you know this? From the Gemara, it's mashma that the third baby should never get a bris milah. Not when he's 2 years old. Not when he's 13 years old. And not when he's 50 years old. Once it's been established that there's a sakana to do a bris milah, you never know. You never know what's going to be. So where do the Rambam say, no, when the child becomes an adult, gets a yigdol, gets a little bit bigger, we'll make a determination. Maybe now the kid's okay, he's safe, and now we can do a bris milah. You have all of a Gemara, he's an orel, or he doesn't have a bris milah for good reason. The reason why he does that bris milah is because his brothers died machmas milah. Well, mashma do with adults. It's mashma. You want to make a carbon pesach. So the person is a achid meisa machmas. The guy's an adult. He's 30 years old. And the Gemara says, according to the Rambam, he should already have had a bris milah a long time ago. The mashma shu nishar orel yoylam. So what is going on over here? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, no, it's not a kasha. They went to travel. There's a mice where a woman already did nila on two of her children. They died. And the Tana, who was son of Rabbi Nosson, he gave a good look. He examined the baby. And he saw that the baby is yellow. There's something wrong with the baby. And he told the mother, wait. Now here is the key words. He told the mother, wait. He didn't tell the mother, don't do it. Until the blood is circulating properly in his body, and then you can do the bris milah. So what do we see from this? When they did a bris milah, the choya, and he lived. And what was the end of the Gemara? There they called the baby? Rab Nosson. They called the baby on the name of the Rav. When did that happen? When was the last time that ever happened? The baby, you have a Shalom Zachar, right? And you have a Shaila, someone pulled out the plug for the Chalant, for the Shalom Zachar, and they asked the Rav the Shaila, What can we do? The Rav says to get a guy, put the plug back in. If you have the children for Shalom Zachar, and they come to the bris in that week, and they name the baby after the Rav, because the Rav saved the child. Not going to happen today, right? But in those days, they named the baby after the Rav because
the
he passed it.
Right,
they say the Rav should yarik misilav nashigol, but the malu v'chayim v'chayim the adam the same thing is true when the baby is too red. The kasha, I have a difficulty. Harei Rabbi Nosson loy ro hashadim hashadim hakaidim. He did not see the two other children. Mibnei mamay, so he didn't do an autopsy. Or they already decomposed probably. I mean, nayin hoya batua. How did he know shanayim molu oisam yoisam yirukim oyadomei? How was he certain that they were still when they were red or yellow? Shema misiba and misibas imam. Maybe it's their DNA. Their DNA just does not allow them to have a bris mil no matter what. Not because of their blood.
It's not the two brothers. Maybe it's two uncles died in the bris mil.
No, maybe yeah. Two boys are the same.
Instead of the children, maybe brothers. Two brothers dying, and it's in the family. It's in the genes.
No, so he discussed that. We discussed that was discussed. And he discussed that. It depends. We don't go that far. You go up to the mother. So I don't remember the details. He discusses that. On the previous page, there was a paragraph where he discussed the various determination of the yichus when there's a sakana. You have to look back before. I don't remember. Don't say this. Don't go tell me that he went and he questioned. It doesn't say all this. There's only one yelet. So in other words, what's going on over here? What exactly happened in this story? So he says, Ela vadai, oisyut, debirur ho'inyin kainhu, this is the clarification of the matter. You have to stand for the Sefer Torah now?
Moving it.
Ela, debirur ho'inyin kainhu, atoirat siv salamol b'yoyim, ches lilei dosai. Once it's a you can sit down even though the arm is open. It's in its own rishus. That's why on Yom Tov when they open up the oven, you don't have to stand up. I mean, it's a nice thing to do. You should, but if you're tired, you can't stand. You're not mechuyev. The only time you're mechuyev to stand is when the aron is in movement, is being transported from one place to another place.
So
hakav is a very big problem. Very, very big problem. Yeah. How are we allowed to sit during hakav? There is no good answer. There is no some gedolim. Some of them they walked out. They walked out. The oilam is makel. What can you say? The oilam, the minig oilam is to makel. What's the makof? It's iaf shabin yinache. There's no other solution, but it's a problem. It's a problem. It's a very big problem. There is no solution. So, but the whole year round, when it's only a matter of moments, so then the oilam is nizar. Okay, let's go further. So therefore, el oisyut. A little bit louder. Okay. Ella vadai the bir ha'inyan kainu. This is the clarification of the matter. Hatayrot siv salamol b'yom ches lelidaso. The Torah gave a command to do bismillah on day 8. Umestama betuchim anachdu. We have confidence. Shlo ye'era boy kol takolim amilah ve'ein lanu lochus shum chashasha kshayelit body v'sholim imloy kishu choyle. We have no reason to suspect anything is wrong if the baby looks okay to us. Aval im hareuso hum ibnei habonim hakoyim. If the problem, the reason why we have a suspicion is because the two brothers have died in before, then siv sahatayra lechapes achar ezesiba to find a cause to investigate. Ulechein therefore huchach Rav Nosson lived like b'hayelit hashlishi the imloy kain. So therefore we have to investigate. Who are we? Here's what he's saying in Rebbe Chiddush. You investigate what? You investigate this child. Not the previous children. Mm-hmm. Investigate this child. Therefore, lived like Bahayelet, Hashlishi, The Imlai came, mi hichrichai livdai, who forced him to investigate this third child. Roila litlois beha'im, he should have right away said that the mother is the problem, and automatically no bris milah. Elavadai, shetzrichin lichapes hasiba, we have to look at the child in front of us and look for a cause. If there's nothing to be worried about, then go for it. But if we know in the past there have been problems, don't look to the past history. It's a very tremendous chiddush. This very fits very well with the svar that I told you before. So what I told you before is, bris milah is sakana. The Torah is telling us to put your b'moiser nefesh to do bris milah. It's an incredible chiddush. How could the Torah demand, even childbirth, Chazal say, is not sakana. It's darka shel olam. The Gemara talks about how is a woman like to get pregnant? When a woman gets pregnant, she's going to give birth. Toys, all these many questions about a woman giving birth. It's mamish, not every woman comes out alive. I mean, in ancient times, it was mamish sakana. So Taisva says, since it's darkoy shel oilam, it's part of the natural process of life for a woman to become pregnant, to give birth, it's not the same level as pikuach nefesh, like anything else. It's on a lower level. That's a very big chiddush, right? It's a big chiddush to say such a thing, especially in modern times. Maybe now, you know, in Miskat Nuhadavus, it became very, very weak. But it's not in the category giving. When you would ask two people, what's the biggest sakana? To give birth or to a bris milah? Everyone would tell you it's a much bigger sakana to give birth than it is to do a bris milah. The baby is fine, like I think 3-4 hours after the bris milah, it's all over. There's nothing more, the baby's already finished. Labor? A woman's not back to herself for weeks. Okay, 100% back to herself. And halacha, you like Michal Shabbos. So Taisa says, yeah, it's taka sakana, it's all a big sakana, but it's darkoi shel oilam. It's the way of the world. If Hashem made people like this, Hashem built within you the koyach to survive giving birth. Mila is not darkoi shel oilam. Mila is real sakana. And the Torah says, put yourself in that sakana. Once the Torah is putting itself in that sakana, it's interesting how far to what degree. If the two brothers died machmas mila, so that's it. I'm potter. If this was not bris mila, you wouldn't do it. There's no question you wouldn't do a bris mila. If you have two brothers who died machmas mila, and now we're up to doing another bris mila, and this was not the lumness of bris mila, you wouldn't do a bris mila, period, for the whole life. But the Torah says, no, bris mila is a mitzvah which you put yourself in sakana. So just be careful. So what does it mean to be careful? Don't look back to the two brothers. Look at this child. Try to examine him very, very carefully to see if there's anything that's holding him back from that might cause him to die. And if you do find a reason, then indeed you should not do the bris milah. Otherwise, you have to proceed. Elavadai, second to last line, tzrichin, three lines from the bottom, that aldim lakein ha-michichir livdoik lo'iloi v'hoilo litlois ba'im elavadai, shetzrichim l'chapes ha-sibuch shemotza la'shlish yishuhu yorek o'yodoim tola b'siba zu. It's because that reason, therefore, ein ka'imulon, the ein l'morlo, that's why you don't do a bris milah if you do find the siba shu yorek o'yodoim. Now the imkein, don't mi no mi no. And now we can extrapolate. Kishein moitzin siba, what happens, brot, we don't find the specific cause, le'hayelet ha-zeh, the hechruch. If you examine the child and the baby looks, the color is perfect. Obviously, it's not because of the color. It's because of the DNA. It's because the DNA of the child. Then you don't do the bris milah. But lakula, if you examine the baby and you see the baby is yellow or green, we're not going to say that this is an additional problem. Number one, there's a DNA problem. Number two, there's a yellow problem. No, we don't do that. If you see yellow, that's enough to assume that's the problem. Now, you don't have to go look backwards. We don't go backwards. If we find the klaimar shanu royim sheisha zu banecha bnei shmeina chaylim heim, we don't assume that when they're 8 days old they're automatically sick. Avolo yoyser me bnei shmeina. The kalv chaymer hadvarim deim b'maisa de abnasan shloira habanim hakoyim mikol makom tola biyarkus v'admus. If the case of Rabbi Nasan, he did not assume it was because of those, he did not see them and did not make that assumption. Kal v'chomer b'stam shezayodanu shebnei shemoyna shemolu meisu ein lano litlois biyoyser b'bnei shemoyna. We don't have to assume more than that. Ach, ein loyde bezed zman kotsuv. There is no set time. Lachain tolim bemurgel dehem chalushim bektanusam or memela kishen shgalvlu me'at v'deschasku ke'chay tehem. When their cuts heal, halach holchalo hasiba, the cause goes away, and then you're allowed to do. But then you're mechuyev to bris mila immediately. V'zeu tam shal b'sin baruchu b'sad shmai v'zeh shemasin b'gemar arul shemesuach machas mila zeu kishemolim begadlusam. So that he wants a very big chiddush. That's discussing a case where there were adult brothers, and two of the adult brothers died because of Mila. Wow. V'chein kosvu ha'toisvis reishkulin ayin sham. Okay, so the bottom. There were three brothers that were Megayim, or three brothers that were choizah b'shuvah, they never had a bris Mila. And they two of the brothers had a bris Mila when they were adults, and they died because of the bris Mila. And now brother number three wants a bris Mila. We say, listen, your two brothers died, we're not going to do a bris Mila on you. So, but if the two brothers died when they were infants, that has no relevance on what's going to be when they're adults, because when they're adults, they get stronger, they're healthier, so then they're mechuyev to have a bris mila. So the bottom line over here is, the Gemara says that if a baby, two babies die, the third baby does not have a bris mila. The Rambam does not tell us for how, the Gemara does not say for how long. If you take the words of the Gemara literally, it's mashma, never! Never, if two brothers, infants, die because of the bris mila, the third baby will never, ever have a bris mila. And indeed, that is how some of the Paiskim want to learn shot in the Gemara. The Rambam, the Tor, the Shulchan Aruch disagrees. They say you don't have a bris mila only until ad sheyigdilu, only until they become, and then the Rambam says, what does it mean sheyigdilu? So he explains, it means until they become a little bit older, two, three, whatever the age is, the doctors tell us, and now he's ready for a bris mila. And the way we know this is from the story in the Gemara with Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson, when they did a bris mila, two children died. The third child, he saw the baby was green, and therefore he told the mother to wait, and then they did the bris mila, the baby lived. So you see that when the baby becomes a little bit stronger, we can proceed and we do a bris mila, and we do not say that once the two brothers have died, categorically the third brother will never have a bris mila. And the chiddush of the Gemara, when the Gemara talks about an adult, and we call him a shemesu och of machmas mila, we have an incredible chiddush. We're dealing with a very rare, unique situation where the two brothers died when they had a bris mila when they were adults. So in Echanami, when they're adults and they died, who knows what's going to happen now? We do a bris mila on them now. So let's do one more paragraph. Ach yesh lahafli. B'ma she'shmitu harambam v'yatur hach de'achuyos machzikos. When this goes back to what we learned last week. Sisters are machzikos zeh. If there are three sisters, and one sister has a baby and the baby dies, and the second baby has a baby and it also dies, then the third sister that has a baby, you don't do a bris mila on the third baby, because sisters are all the same DNA. The Rambam does not mention this. The Gama Rif, so perik vav divamas hishmet zev, ayin sham, v'nir ali. So why then did the Shulchan Aruch bring it down? V'nir ali, mishum de'amin v'chosem, amar rava hashto di'amar te'achuyos machzikos, lo yis adam isho lo mishpachas mitzoy ro'in, v'mishpachas nichvin, v'hu de'achzoko t'losa zimnei. Once we know that there are sisters, so if we do not marry a family, if you have three sons, and the three sons come from our children, our cousins, from their mothers, and one of them has saras. Let's say there are two. You have three cousins, and two of them have leprosy, and now someone reads you a shidduch, the third cousin, and they're all cousins through the mother. So the Gemara says, stay away. What are you putting yourself in sakana? Since this family obviously has a genetic problem, they have a problem, so therefore until the problem is corrected, you have to distance yourself, not to put yourself in sakana. So the Gemara there talks about chazaka that comes from sisters that carries down to the next generation. The Adin Hazeh Kasavnu HaRambam, the Rambam does mention this halacha of tsaras, on far as mar, of nichmin, of leprosy, nichmin means epilepsy. The Perek Chof Aleph, what's Mem Aleph Beis? I don't know what that stands for. Uvitur v'shulchan aruch evan ezer soif simen beis ayin sham v'kos v'nuka yosef diavagav v'sakon v'kaimulon v'betray zimne havi chazaka mikamakam v'meichush mishpach hakol moedim d'rak begimel pom yesh lochush ayin sham. Okay, this is another halacha that when it comes to shiduchim, when it comes to this matter, you can use chazaka is established only after it happens three times. We can be more lenient. When it comes to sakana with regard to death, then it's two times. When it comes to these illnesses, we can wait three times. Ulefi zeh, lefi devei rava, ein doime din achuyos le din isha be'atzma. it's not exactly the same, because according to Rava, he's only giving you an example. So it seems over here that it's been that Rava has a different set of rules. Rava has a different set of rules when it comes to sisters than in his example than when it comes to bris milah. So therefore, I'm not really sure what this means over here. The Rambam somehow picked up on that. But we that do not make any difference, because we hold that Rav was only giving one example. I'm not exactly sure what he means over here. V'nir li, the ikar ha-chazaka im huchsiku b'shnei pam nase gam b'pam b'shnei pamim nekar gam b'pam achas im yoldo yelo shlishi imolu v'chai v'im b'gimel pamim lo yinekar elo b'gimel pamim k'moy b'vestais b'simil kuf b'etes. He's saying over here another entire note of the Yisoid. How do you break the chazaka? How do you break? So if you have a chazaka that has been established with twice, 1, 2, and then you do the third time and you get the opposite result, the chazaka has been broken and there's no longer a sakana. But if the chazaka has been established with 3, then the only way you can uproot the chazaka is when you have 3 that have the opposite result. So once you make a chazaka with 3, you're in a lot of trouble.
That means that she'll never get married then. No one will want to marry her.
Okay, every situation is different. I don't know what this is. Every situation has to be assessed differently. The im begimel pamim lo nekar elo begimel pamim k'mo bevest like that, like when it comes to a nida. B'simim kopeites ayin shem v'gam yeshem shapaskei b'lozi the mazel garem or meila bala din achuyos mazel, and there's no din achuyos b'zman hazeh v'vizeh shechoshu l'inyin nesuim mishpachos mitzoram mishum de'ein hekroch v'yis acheres kei sheduchim has its set of rules. And when it comes to dying, it has different. I don't know exactly what he means. This is a very big. We'll leave it over here. There are a lot more variables than I understand to explain. I don't know the details, so we'll just stop here. All right, we'll take a short break.